Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We actually got all the way through week number one. Pair of Monday Night Football games, and we are now through 1 week. And as much as I have been trying to temper my enthusiasm and stay somewhat cautious in my exuberance, it's not so easy for me. I have this feeling that because of how well the NFL is handling its business, this is going to be like a typical season in that all of a sudden it's going to be 1 month down. And then 2 months down, and then boom, it's going faster and faster, like the rest of 2020. I know it felt like at times that the days were crawling by, March, April, maybe even into May, depending on your business and what you were doing over the course of the spring. But gosh, I still can't believe it's mid-September. I mean, we've had 2 weeks to adjust to the fact that it's September, and I'm still haven't been able to process it fully. And so the rest of this year has flown by as much as it feels like it's crawling at times. And having looked forward to football for weeks and weeks and weeks, I now kind of feel like it's going to really pick up steam. And so here we are, completely through week number one. Yay! Before I even talk about Monday Night Football games, I have to tell you how much I appreciated all of your tweets and your Facebook posts over the last 24 hours. You all are really supportive, and I know you were excited about football returning like I was. Most of you, many of you listened to the show, but a lot of you went out of your way to send me posts to tell me how much you enjoyed our first Sunday night into Monday football show, which honestly, those are 16-hour work days. And so we put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into it, a lot of heart, a lot of effort. And because of personnel changes and the fact that there's just two of us on the show now, it's a lot to navigate and a lot to handle. And so the fact that you sent so many tweets and Facebook posts, and really unsolicited, it's not like I was asking you for them or expecting them, but many of you told us how much you enjoyed the show, whether you heard it live or whether you caught it on the podcast. And that makes me happy. But yes, I am pretty jazzed up, pretty giddy over the return of the NFL. And I'm pretty confident that that bleeds through on the show. I try not to talk too fast. I try not to talk too loud, but there is no way that I can contain my excitement. Trying to contain my excitement is like trying to contain Christian McCaffrey, okay? So deal with it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I did post a picture the Monday after the first NFL Sunday. So it's up there for you, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook, that you check out After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we've done a lot of back and forth about football, which is great. You still have time to vote in our latest, well, it's actually not our latest. I mean, it is our latest, but it's also our first of the season Monday MVP poll. And so it's still live, and we're seeing one guy separate himself from the pack, though the race has not yet been decided. What if he's just a rabbit? So go ahead and take that poll, or if you're on Facebook and you want to weigh in with your vote there, that's cool. And so again, you can find it on our show Twitter or my Twitter, and then also on Facebook. And pretty soon we're going to add Touchdown Tuesday to the mix. So as we bid farewell to a manic Monday and we move forward into a Tuesday, it's one of our favorite features during football season. You get to pick what was the coolest touchdown of the week, or maybe it's most significant, or maybe it's a go-ahead touchdown late, or maybe it's just a damn good call. Now, if it's me, my favorite call of the week, although it was a gut punch, was Dan Miller on the Lions radio network with poor DeAndre Swift. The touchdown that wasn't, the touchdown that should have been. Oh, except to feel that angst again. Yep, that also means football is back, baby. You know who else is back? Ben Roethlisberger, after nearly a year on the shelf, being hurt, then having to recover, lose the weight, cut the beard, figure out how to throw again. Ben Roethlisberger at MetLife Stadium as the Steelers battled the Giants.
One in the play clock. Roethlisberger back. Here come the Giants. Roethlisberger floats for Juju Smith-Schuster. Touchdown, Steelers. A touch pass and a beauty by Roethlisberger. And Juju Smith-Schuster has the touchdown for the Steelers. Two receivers to each side. Also the tight end, Eric Ebron, is to the right side of the formation. On an empty set, Roethlisberger back. Throws underneath, complete. This is James Washington. Leaps, and James Washington powers into the end zone. Wow. Touchdown, wow. Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger back to pass. Looking. And throws, and it is complete touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster on a 3rd and 4, and his 3rd touchdown pass for Ben Roethlisberger. Juju having fun in the end zone. And by the way, with that touchdown pass, Ben Roethlisberger tying Eli Manning for 8th all-time with touchdown passes in NFL history, and doing it in Eli Manning's old stomping grounds.
Oh, it's 6 degrees of separation, you know. Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, both with a whole lot of numbers, a whole lot of stats, and both up there in the top 10 in terms of touchdown passes and yards and everything else that comes along with being one of the old dudes, being one of the elder statesmen. It was really good to see Ben on the field again. And as much as there is a, you know, a sense of teams trying to find consistency and certainly missed opportunities, I saw a lot of that in week 1. It's not perfect. It wasn't a seamless performance for the offense the entire time. But the fact that he's out there and he's able to fling the ball around, the fact that he has touch with his surgically repaired elbow, and we saw that with the first touchdown pass to Juju Smith-Schuster. It was soft. It was a loft. Soft and loft. It was softy and lofty. It was a lofty softy. I know I'm an idiot. Anyway, he had some touch pass, some touch on his passes, and he, again, wasn't perfect. The offense wasn't perfect, but you can tell how much Juju Smith-Schuster is excited. You could really see Ben, the fact that this is an offense built around Ben, and the fact that this offense works so much better with a future Hall of Fame quarterback in the saddle. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, the calls on the Steelers radio network. So his final numbers, 21 of 32, 229 yards, 3 touchdowns, with 2 of them going to team Juju. And there was a bit of a stir on the sidelines, which was kind of funny. At one point when Mason Rudolph appeared to be taking some warm-up snaps.
There obviously were a little bit of jitters. I was excited, nervous to be out there. Just wanted to not let my guys down. You know, that was the biggest thing. And as for Mason warming up, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I didn't know that he was.
Big Ben was oblivious to the fact that Mason Rudolph was out there tossing around the pigskin, right? So this is a good start for the Steelers. In addition to seeing Ben Roethlisberger back out there, and kind of wondering what happened with James Conner, either injured or lost his job, something along those lines. But they do definitely have weapons. It's a good start for them. But you could also see the defense and how well the defense has carried over from 2019. A concerted effort to stuff the run with one of the best backs in the game in Saquon Barkley. Now, he did have 60 yards receiving, so he was able to find some space, but 15 carries for only 6 yards. That defense was determined not to let him run free.
We thought that guy was a catalyst for whatever that they were going to do offensively. We put our secondary in harm's way some in an effort to do so. But it's a team game. They embraced that challenge. We needed to stack the line of scrimmage. We need to bring people like Mike Hilton and so forth, and we did. We did what we thought was necessary to minimize his impact on the game.
Only Mike Tomlin says it that way. We probably put our secondary in harm's way in our effort to stuff the box and make sure we contained Saquon Barkley. It worked. And according to Roethlisberger, this is one of the best defenses he's ever played with. He calls the Steelers' defense of 2020 unbelievable and says, unfortunately, I have to face it every day in practice. So, welcome back, Big Ben. In a league that is slowly being taken over by young hotshot QBs, and that's a rite of passage. We've had some incredible young QBs come in, and whether they're ready immediately, they've been thrown into the fire. Some of them, of course, are. Lamar Jackson, we've seen, of course, win an MVP. Patrick Mahomes, I'm not going to name them all, but Kyler Murray, another one who has clearly staked his claim among NFL quarterbacks. But we need a few of the elder statesmen, the guys who have history, the guys who have mileage, the guys who have the wisdom and the experience. Yes, young hotshot superstars are fun, and they will run the league. They're grabbing most of the attention as guys like Peyton Manning and Eli Manning retire, as Philip Rivers changes teams, Tom Brady changes teams, as Brady and Breeze vie back and forth for some of the all-time passing records into their 40s. But this is a young man's game. I just think the old dudes rock because they're more in touch with their own sports mortality. It means more to them. But they also bring character. They bring depth to the game because of what they've seen, because of what they mean to the league. And so I'm glad to see Ben healthy and back on the field and to have some of these elder statesmen still hanging around. It's cool that he admits he had some jitters, though. That's how you know you still care. People ask me whether or not I get nervous when I do a radio show. I wouldn't say nervous necessarily, although I do get really nervous when I do TV, any kind of TV. Man, I was recording videos on my laptop for the kiddos that I normally teach in person at Sunday school. And our church is just now starting to put these videos up where we can kind of connect with the kids and teach them over the computer. And the second I start recording, I get nervous. That's how little I like to have a camera on me or how little I like to be doing any type of TV. But when it comes to the radio show, yeah, it's comfortable. And yes, this is my niche and it's where I belong. But every time I reach for that button to turn on the microphone for the very first time, there are butterflies. And after I've been gone away for a week or after it's a really big sporting event and I want to do a good job on the show, I always feel those jitters. So it's cool to hear Ben Roethlisberger talk about that. Why did he return? Why did he come back? He didn't have to. This was a long rehab and recovery process that kept him out of the game for a year.
I told the guys before the game, it's not about me individually. The reason I came back is for these guys, for this team. It's a special group of football players and men. And so I'm just thankful to be a part of it.
I'm thankful that he's a part of it as well. And the Steelers, to me, look like a contender after week number one. You know what we talked about with the overreaction. And what about the New York Giants in that NFC East that I do kind of consider to be wide open? Well, and I use this term a lot on Sunday night into Monday. It was a ton of missed opportunities. Now, in the case of Daniel Jones, the second-year quarterback for the Giants, who's got a brand-new head coach, it's missed opportunities based on youth and poor decision-making based on youth. And so while I already did see some of you tweeting me about how it's Jason Garrett's fault, that's ridiculous. Jason Garrett does not feel the pressure throw an ill-advised wobbly pass into traffic. Not just traffic, but seven Steelers waiting at the goal line to intercept the ball after a 19-play drive. That's not on the coaches. That's on Daniel Jones. And those are the things that he needs to learn. So there were some extended drives by the Giants in which they just couldn't capitalize. And the one that was just devastating was the 19-play, nearly 9-minute drive that put them on the cusp. But how about the first? Was it the first? I think it was the first punt of the game for the Giants that the Steelers muffed. And they're right there. They're what, on the 2-yard line and still couldn't get into the end zone. And so not all of that is on the coaches or Jason Garrett, peeps, as much as you would like to blame Jason Garrett. Daniel Jones is still maturing. Daniel Jones is still figuring out what throws to make, when to eat it, where to go with the ball. But he has got some zip. I mean, that arm, and there are stretches where he looks like he's in command, but it's still a work in progress, and he certainly knows that.
We did some good things and some not so good things. And you know, I certainly feel like I was, you know, I played, you know, good at times and bad at times. So I think, you know, we got to do a better job being consistent, you know, avoiding the bad plays, avoiding the big mistakes.
I like the way he played aggressive. Okay. He stood in the pocket. It was obviously a strong rush coming at him all night. He played confident in there. He stood there as long as he could. He delivered some good, accurate passes for us. He had 2 throws I know he wants back, you know, down at the goal line. That's something we can't have happen.
Nope, not if you want to win. And so it was a good job by the Steelers to run a lot of interference, to get some pressure on him. Bud Dupree, T.J. Watt had not only pressure, but a pretty impressive interception of his own, and to make life difficult for a young quarterback. So Jones finished 26 of 41, 279 yards, had a couple of touchdown passes to Darius Slayton, but also got picked off twice. And then, as I say, was under duress. 3 sacks, 8 QB hits. And I don't know about the Giants. It's 1 week with a brand new coach, and that's one of the things that has jumped out at me about week one in the NFL is that if you look around, you realize that a lot of the teams, not all of them, but a lot of the teams that change coaches, they're obviously still in limbo. They're still in that process where they're trying to figure it out. Even teams that changed quarterbacks but didn't change coaches, you could see that there's still some work to do to get into a rhythm. And that's because you have to be at full speed. You have to face a defense that doesn't know what's coming. There's just a lot to work out when you don't have the preseason. Even if these guys weren't going to be playing more than a series or a snap, to not have that practice and to really have limited practices with pads and with reps at speed, there's something to be said for that. And I think you can see that this first month is a race to consistency, but definitely the teams that change coaches, change systems, change quarterbacks, change personnel, some of them are a little bit behind the eight ball, which is fine. That seems completely according to script, if you will. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good to talk to you. Vote for Monday MVP. We'll get to your touchdown Tuesday as we head through these next couple hours. We do have another cool finish, I would say, coming from not football, but from hockey. So we'll call it a fantastic finish because I love alliteration. A couple of milestones in Major League Baseball that I want to make sure we get to since we didn't have much opportunity for baseball, really anything else, on the first show of the work week. And an update on what's happening with the Big Ten since it appears they are leaning more toward reinstituting football this fall, which would be great news for a lot of football fans around the country. So there's a lot to grant to Graham in. I don't know. This is what happens when I talk too fast. I get excited. I'm very exuberant. And then I say dumb stuff because I'm talking too fast and my brain is in one place and my mouth is in entirely another place. But that's all right. It's okay. I'll work it out and you will cut me some slack.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
There's not much wind. The bright orange telltales on the top of the goalposts are limp. 44-yard drive for the lead. The ball was blocked. The kick was blocked. Great job inside by the Denver Broncos.
He's missed from 47. He's had one block from 44. He's missed from 42. He's missed an extra point. Snap, set, kick. Good! Redemption for Gostkowski with 17 seconds to go.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was quite a night for the former Pro Bowl kicker, former Patriots star kicker, Stephen Gostkowski, who is one of the former Patriots, now part of the Tennessee Titans roster. And Mike Keith does a pretty good job of summing up what was a difficult night for him, Monday Night Football. In the first half, a pair of missed field goals, including the block that you heard on Westwood One with Kevin Harlan. And the block came late in the second quarter as they were heading into the halftime locker room. Then he misses a field goal from 42 yards and a point after attempt. Those came in the third quarter. That all set up his opportunity in the final 30 seconds to put the Titans in front. Can you imagine the nerves? Maybe not. He's a pro. Maybe there weren't nerves. Maybe he's not human. Of course, there were some jitters. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Titans beat the Broncos in Denver 16-14. The second half marked by a couple of cool moments. Melvin Gordon's first touchdown for the Broncos and a late drive by the Titans and Ryan Tannehill that put them in position for that Gostkowski field goal. Of course, he was the one everybody wanted to hear from. You know what? Very rarely are kickers in high demand postgame, but when you have a performance roller coaster ride like Gostkowski did on Monday night, well, yeah, everybody wants to hear from you.
I'm just happy that the guys got to celebrate. And, you know, I'm disappointed in myself and embarrassed and frustrated, but at the end of the day, you know, we won, and luckily guys are happy going home. I'm just disappointed in myself that I couldn't bounce back quicker, and that's usually something that I pride myself on, is onto the next kick, onto the next one, and not, you know, letting one kick turn into two. And obviously it just snowballed from there, and it's, I gotta hold my head high and move on to the next one.
Stephen Gostkowski does get the kick at the end, so in my opinion, all is forgiven. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So again, as I point out, that last drive to get into field goal position was huge because the Titans were trailing at that point 14-13, and Ryan Tannehill had to take them fully the length of the field. And so they needed a dozen plays to go 83 yards, and they didn't quite do it in 3 minutes. They had a couple of shots at the end zone, but they converted multiple times to get a fresh set of downs until they set up Gostkowski's 25-yard field goal. And so that was critical when you think about Tannehill's season in 2019, where he finally took over as the starting quarterback and then had the highest passer rating of any QB in the NFL, even better than one Drew Brees, was second in terms of accuracy. Yes, they relied more and more on Derrick Henry the deeper they got into the season, and he was their MVP to help them get to the AFC Championship and actually have a lead on the Kansas City Chiefs in that game. And so he's the guy that deserved the fat contract, and Tannehill, of course, got the job security with the new contract as well. They go tandem. They go hand in hand. When you have a guy who can deliver a pass accurately and move a team down the field, well, then it becomes more risky to stuff the box or to focus solely on the star running back. But when they're both working together, and let's see if the Titans continue to hand Derrick Henry the ball as much as they did in this one. 31 carries for 116 yards. He had only a 13-yarder as his long all night. And the only other guy to rush the ball, quote unquote, was Tannehill. And so they really are going to ride him hard. And then it's Tannehill's job to keep the defense honest and to make sure that he manages the game and that he's delivering passes. And it felt like a lot of dink and dunks. I mean, get rid of the ball quickly. Don't get sacked. You know, don't take big losses and make sure that you use the pass, even if it's short passes, to set up the run. And so that last drive was critical. And for Tannehill and the Titans, anytime you can go on the road and you can come away with a victory, it's definitely a good start to the season.
Yeah, we know our guys are going to battle. Obviously, we want to clean things up and not be in that situation at the end. But I think we had a lot of confidence going into that drive that we were going to find a way to win. There was no panic on the sideline. We weren't happy with how things were going, but there was no panic. We had a lot of confidence that we were going to go down and score.
As for the Broncos, Drew Lock is the starter for Denver now, and John Elway hoping that he's finally found their quarterback of the present and the future. 22 of 33, he had a touchdown and was also able to deliver some throws on the money. They're working in Melvin Gordon. Obviously, he was their number one back in this game. Lindsey was kind of in and out dealing with a foot injury, but Gordon has his first touchdown as a member of the Broncos, and they also relied heavily on Noah Fant, a lot of two tight end sets, and then Jerry Jeudy making his debut. So the rookie out of Alabama catching four balls with 56 yards there. And they're still definitely... some ways that all of these teams need to settle into a rhythm, as I've talked about. And that's pretty typical for any NFL season, more so this year. But honestly, I didn't think the football was as sloppy or messy or ugly as what was anticipated. Honestly, I didn't think it was that bad. But, you know, the house rule is no complaining, no matter what. For a long time, this game was 7-7 until they got to the fourth quarter. It was stuck at 7-7, and I thought, okay, this is going to be one of those games that I was talking about during the training camps where if the final score is 11-5 or 6-4, there's no complaining about a lack of offense. I'm just glad that we made it all the way through week number one. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, vote for Monday MVP. And I'd love to know the whether it's storylines, whether it's athletes, whether it's what you saw, what you heard. What surprised you from week number one? Are you surprised that they got all the way through week number one? But let's talk now that the dust is settling. And coming up top of next hour, we will spend some time with longtime NFL reporter and writer Mike Sando. He and I worked together at a previous network, and he's been covering the league for better than 20 years. So really interesting to get his perspective, and we'll kind of pick apart and contemplate what we saw. But I'd love to hear from you as well. Now that every team has played, it's open season to talk about week number one.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Stastny does not have a stick. It's Gurionov on the right wing side, behind the net. Corey Perry spreads it out wide left. Ropey hits up high for Klingberg. Fake the shot one time. Gurionov, he scores! Denis Gurionov! The Stars win game five. They win the series. They win the West. And the Dallas Stars are headed to the Stanley Cup Final.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Congratulations to Dallas. The series only went five games against the Vegas Golden Knights, but it was tight in those five games as the Stars outscored the Knights 9-8. So in five games, there were 17 goals scored, and Dallas had the edge just barely. They got the timely goals. They had a couple of games in which they came from behind late. And if you ask the Golden Knights, they would tell you they were the better team and they played better for most of the time. But they weren't scoring, according to Riley Smith, and the Stars were when they had to have it. Riley Smith even said it felt like we were cursed around the net because nothing was going in. But the Stars definitely do have veterans. They've got strong leadership, and they've got a flair for the dramatic. So on the Stars Radio Network, congratulations to Dallas for reaching the Stanley Cup Final. This is pretty exciting that we've gotten to this point now. And I know it's disappointing. It's the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. So really disappointing for Vegas that was built to win now. The aggressive moves they made. Of course, the coaching change with Peter DeBoer coming in and taking over for Gerard Gallant. And when they first got into the bubble in Edmonton, they were locked in. They restarted with that one goal, which was to win the Stanley Cup. First in the Pacific Division. And they went through Chicago like a freight train. Five games. And the Blackhawks were dispatched. And then they did have to get through a game seven against the Vancouver Canucks. And here they were in the Western Conference Finals against the Stars, and they were still the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. But on paper means a whole lot of nothing. It's all about how you perform in those pressure-packed moments. And Dallas kept coming up with big goal after big goal, and the Stars are now in the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 2000. Congratulations to Dallas. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Cowboys fans, does that make you feel better about the fact that your Cowboys didn't start out with a win on Sunday Night Football? Support your Stars. You should. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you when you switch. Visit geico.com to learn more. Remind me to tell you about the giant rat outside the doors of our building, because, you know, I need to share it with someone and get it off my chest. But 855-212-4227. Mo is listening in New Jersey. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, good to hear that. You know, first and foremost, I want to talk about the NFL. I'm happy that you got through week one very successful. You know, a lot of people, like you've been saying, were doubting even up to the past week.
Right.
Up until the actual season started, and, you know, a big ha-ha to them. But I'm happy that we got through the first week unscathed, you know.
Yes.
But I mainly was calling to talk about that Giants and Steelers game. I'm a Giants fan. You know, that one hurt. But, you know, I'm pro and con with that game because, you know, we have that young core with Daniel Jones, you know, Saquon and Slayton is starting to show up as, you know, our primary receiver. You know, we got some things to work on.
Right.
You know, I saw some positives, you know, out of that. Saquon looking like he's going to be in form this year. You know, Daniel Jones is still young and learning. He just has to learn when to, you know, not try to force things and let it go. But offensively, I was fine. Defensively, that's what's killing us. To me, defensively, we need to really bite down and really go in big, because I'm used to seeing that defense that won us in a couple of Super Bowls, you know, about 10, 13 years ago. That's the kind of defense I'm used to seeing. We haven't saw that from us in a long time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The defense has been a weak link, even as a lot of people have focused on the rebuilding project on the offense. And they've traded away or seen a bunch of high-profile, what would be expensive, players and free agents go elsewhere. So it does make sense. They've had more of a defection in terms of their talent. And so they're still in a rebuilding mode. I do think they have some good pieces. But I did wonder, actually, when Janoris Jenkins stepped in front of that pass from Tom Brady and anticipated perfectly on Sunday playing for the Saints, whether or not there was a twinge for Giants fans wondering, why can't we get good defensive players like that?
You know what, Amy, you kind of took the words out of my mouth, because that was what I was thinking when I saw that game. And I went back and watched that play a few times, actually, because I'm just thinking to myself, that's who we had. Noah Jenkins, he had a couple plays like us for that over, you know, the season after that he was with us. He brought us that veteran presence, but, you know, we were in rebuild mode, and he was
right.
Such a high profile player that we had brought in and paid him, and, you know, we felt like he ran his course with us. But, you know, it just deserves to see that. You know, he can go somewhere else and do that. But, hey, like I said, rebuild mode offensively. You know, we're going to work on it, but defensively as well. But I know we're going to keep on drafting, but we got to get, veteran pieces, and hopefully we'll get something good in the draft where, we can mix them together and get back to the –
It's week one. You can't be talking about the draft now, man.
Oh, no. This is in the future. The draft is not here. That's down the road. No.
I mean, if that's what you're looking forward to, then it's going to be a really long season. I feel like the Giants are in the right division. You never know. They could sneak up on a couple of people. They could grab a couple of wins. And the NFC East, to me, still is wide open. It's like rolling the dice.
Like you said, hey, it's been we're a division that somebody can go 8-8 or 9-7, and we've seen it before. We went 9-7 before and made it to the playoffs and made a run and went for it all. So I'm always very optimistic. The NFC gives me a lot of hope because, hey, we don't know who's going to be that it team for us until week 16.
Yeah, sometimes. Last year it was even week 17, and it very often goes down to the wire. So I would say don't start talking about the draft just yet. You're still in it. It's only 0-1. But thanks, Mo. Good to talk to you.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good night.
855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Joe Judge, brand new head coach. His first game as the fearless leader of the New York Giants. And, of course, he's got to give the Steelers credit for the way they played on Monday night.
That's a very talented team. It's a very talented offensive skill group. You know, when you play the Steelers, you have to understand they're going to make plays. You know, these are talented guys. They're a good team for a reason. They're going to make their plays. You just got to stay disciplined and committed to the process and eventually work to make more.
And so there's a lot to sort through, a lot to contemplate, a lot to chew over. I do like chewing. I'm a big time fan of the food. And so I use a lot of food analogies when I'm talking about sports. Now that the dust is settling on week number one, what stands out to you? What surprises you? I'll put a tweet up here, A-Law Radio, but I'd love to hear from you as well on Facebook, 855-212-4227. I haven't really thought much about basketball for a couple of days, but we do have not only the Eastern Conference Finals starting on Tuesday, but we also have a Game 7 coming up between the Clippers and the Nuggets. And good for the Nuggets that they continue to scrap and claw and fight. And, of course, they've got a couple of stars in their team in Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. And they will stun you with an 11-0 run here, a 17-2 run there. And all of a sudden, you're looking at a winner-take-all game against a Clippers squad that I think most people would tell you has more talent and is a better ready-made team for right now. And yet they haven't been able to close out the Nuggets. Meanwhile, you've got the Lakers waiting in the Western Conference Finals. And so we're down to the final four in the NBA. Nearly. We're down to the final five, but we're just about down to the final four in the NBA. And no, I have no idea who's going to win game seven. I think it would be fun to see Jamal Murray on the Western Conference Finals stage. I love his grit and, of course, the body English. And, I mean, he's an incredible talent as well. But I also think it would be cool to have the historic matchup between the Clippers and the Lakers and just kind of wondering how that goes. Now, it won't be as historic as it would be if all the games were held in Staples Center. That's kind of fun. So it's different. But we're getting down to the point at which, you know, we're talking the best of the best in the last team standing. So we'll do a little more basketball as we head through this week. And you know what else is coming up this week? The U.S. Open in golf. We just finished the U.S. Open in tennis. Those championships, the singles finals were over the weekend. And now we're looking ahead to the start of the U.S. Open in golf at Winged Foot, which is New York. So I wouldn't quite call it a suburb of New York City, but I guess if you're not from the area, that might be what you think. It is a little bit north of New York City. And so it's a pretty course, and it's a it's a, of course, a tweak to the schedule, and it's an event that typically takes place around Father's Day. In fact, usually the U.S. Open ends with its final round on Father's Day in June, and instead it's going to be in September. But I'm here for it. I'm excited. It brings out the best players in the game, though not this year. We will see Brooks Koepka because he's got some lingering injuries, so he's already pulled out. But this fall is just weird. It's weird, it's wacky, and yet in some ways it's normal to hear fans complain about football, to hear fans freaking out. I really enjoyed looking back at your overreactions on our Facebook page, so maybe I'll bring a few of those up again, even as we go through kind of the surprises and the, I don't know about stunners. So there are any stunners, but certainly the surprises and the impacts of week number one, and injuries a big part of that too. And so coming up just after the top of the hour, we'll welcome Mike Sando from the Pacific Northwest. He's covered the NFL for more than 20 years, and he's now with The Athletic, though we worked together at my previous network. And I'll ask him some of his reflections, the surprises, the injuries, and of course the impacts, the possibilities moving forward. So Mike Sando at the top of the hour. I think the overall impression that I get is that it's not far off from what we normally see in week number one, which is sloppy and messy, especially when you have a lot of veterans who don't play in the preseason anymore.
And you.
And I don't know that if, let's just say for the sake of argument, that this round of games in week number one were switched up with 2019. I don't know that I would look at these games in week number one and say, oh yeah, there definitely was no preseason, or oh yeah, these games definitely came from 2020 with a virtual offseason and a training camp that was unlike any other, and a year in which there were, I mean, how many rounds? Countless rounds of testing and health and safety protocols. It doesn't seem to have changed the game, either on the field or off the field, so much that you could tell. If you picked up this week one and you put it back a year, you turn the clock back a year, and these were the games that we got in 2019, I don't know that they would feel so out of place, if that makes sense. Now, I do applaud everybody that's part of the NFL for making sure that they can move forward. Maybe the one thing that will come out of this is that coaches will wear masks moving forward. I mean, they don't need to wear masks. They're not required to because everybody's clean. They've all been tested. And yet there they are on the sidelines using the masks as though they're caring mostly about health and setting an example, when I actually think they're just using the mask to cover their mouths so that nobody can read their lips. And so their yelling is muffled. Mike Sando is next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.